And good morning, everybody, on 88.1. That's Nathan Sterner. I'm Tom Hall. You're listening to Maryland Morning. We're going to begin today with a look at the Howard County Conservancy. It's a 200-acre tract of rolling hills, forest, meadow, and streams called Mount Pleasant Farm. It's in Woodstock, about a half hour's drive west of Baltimore. The Conservancy, which marked its 25th anniversary last Sunday, introduces young people and adults to environmental stewardship and conservation. To tell us more about it, I'm joined in the studio by its executive director, Meg Boyd, and Ann Strozik. She's an award-winning environmental educator in the Howard County school system who is based at the Conservancy. Welcome to you both. Good morning and welcome to you both. How you doing?
Good morning.
Good morning.
So, Meg, I've never been out there. I know probably a few of our listeners have not been out as well. Tell us about the Conservancy.
Well, the Conservancy is a very unique property. As you mentioned, 232 acres. We have 4 miles of trails. And it came to the Conservancy from the Brown sisters. They were the last of 8 generations of their family to own and live at the farm. The sisters were public school teachers for 50 years, starting in the one-room schoolhouses of Howard County. And they, at the end of their lives, said they wanted to preserve the property and use it for education. And it came to the Conservancy to carry out their wishes for the property.
All right, so they were into teaching from the very beginning.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, yeah, you know, the foresight, 232 acres in Howard County, obviously a lot of development value. So the foresight of these teachers to recognize the opportunity to use it for educational programming was just really wonderful for the community.
Mm-hmm. And Ann Strozik, you coordinate your educational activities with the Howard County School System. How does that work?
It's wonderful. We have a terrific partnership between the Howard County Conservancy and the science department, secondary science. We work very closely to make sure that our field experiences are aligned with all of our next-gen science standards and the curriculum. So we work very closely together.
What are the next-gen science standards? That's edgy speak, and I don't know what that means.
Okay. Well, and simply, it's not easy to put simply, but it's a fantastic directives, helping teachers to create authentic science experiences for students.
Mm-hmm. And this is all part of the STEM stuff, the science, technology, engineering, math. It's all rolled up into that?
Absolutely.
And you've just gotten a big chunk of change from NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, $310,000, and that's going to go towards the Bay and Watershed Training Program. What's that all about?
Well, the NOAA BWET grant program funded our project, which is the Watershed Report Card. And this is a very unique program that we're doing. We are actually having students turn the table. The students create a report card on the health of the watershed in Howard County. And they do that by stream studies, by evaluating the health of their schoolyard, collecting authentic data, evaluating it throughout the year, engaging with subject matter experts, and then actually presenting their report card and their grade on the health of the watershed to elected officials in Howard County. And we have just found that because the students are doing the actual data collection, they are fully vested in this data and in their evaluation of it and in the results and recommendations, and the elected officials are really paying attention because it's the students that are doing the evaluating and coming to them with a report.
Yeah, we're usually testing them all the time.
Correct.
This time they're testing us,
right,
you know, as the stewards of this. Let me ask you a dumb question because I'm a dumb guy. When people use the term watershed, what does that mean?
Well, a watershed is all of the area that drains into a body of water. So, of course, the Chesapeake Bay is our big body of water. But in areas like Howard County, we have enormous networks of streams that are all also draining into the rivers that drain into the Chesapeake Bay. So students are looking at their sub-watersheds in Howard County, so sort of the micro area that's draining into the streams and the rivers.
Because they're actually looking like around their schools and the parking
Correct.
Lots and all that kind of stuff. So Ann Strozik, for example, things like runoff, I mean, people have referred to the fees that have been assessed on various counties as the rain tax. Do they learn about that and they learn about the implications in their particular area?
Absolutely. So what's great about this program is students do not even have to be bussed off to learn about watershed education. They start right in their schoolyard. They evaluate their schoolyard looking at invasive plants, erosion, what is actually in their stormwater pond. And then as we go through the year, because it's a full-year project, by the time we're finished in fourth quarter, they do learn about civics and how what is the rain tax and how is it being used. They hear from government agencies, local. They hear from our Senator Cardin as well. We've had some. He was out just last week listening to the students and engaging mm-hmm. with them.
Yeah, so there is an impact on public policy if they're giving the state data. The Bay had a decent report card last year. In 2014, it scored 50%, which does seem kind of keeping the bar pretty low. And the only reason people were calling it decent was because it was up from 45% in 2013. That's an overall grade done by the University of Maryland Center for Environmental Science. Anne, are you finding that kids are, when you talk about an authentic learning experience, that's another little edu-speak term. What does that mean?
Authentic means they are hands-on in the stream, collecting the data for themselves, analyzing it themselves. We are coaching them, sharing with them how to do the protocols, but they are literally digging in and looking at the color charts to figure out what, you know, what the probes say and what the tests signify. So that's what we mean authentic. And also authentic in that they are examining a real question, a driving question. What is the health of our watersheds? Some of them have never been to a stream. Why would they care? Unless they have the opportunity to look at it from their schoolyard and then also in the stream. It becomes personal.
Yeah. And Meg Boyd, I think it does become personal if they are actually involved, you know, physically in it. And I think it's almost, in my experience, it's almost geographic. I mean, like when I'm out west, I was in Alaska a couple of years ago, the connection to the environment by people in Alaska seemed considerably stronger mm-hmm. than it does on people on the right, mm-hmm. to people on the right coast, mm-hmm. on mm-hmm. the East Coast. You know, right. the left coasters just they have an immediacy about the environment mm-hmm. that we don't have, particularly in urban areas. Is this something that you're finding as you've been running these education programs for a long time?
It is. As Anne mentioned, we're finding a large number of students haven't even been to streams in Howard County. And when they do their stream study, when our high schools do their stream study, we pick a stream that's close to their school or in their neighborhood. And a lot of these kids didn't even know a stream was there. You know, it's through a little path, through a little patch of woods. And when we get them down there to actually start testing the streams, it's sort of an aha moment for them that this stream is here and the rain from my house and my schoolyard is washing down into this stream.
Yeah. And Storzy, when you talk about environmental literacy, you know, for a young person or for that matter, for an adult, what does that mean in your mind?
Environmental literacy is, well, even just getting to your watershed question, what is a watershed? Why should I care about these environmental issues? So that, you know, there's a big push in across the state for E-Lit, we call it environmental literacy, so that when students graduate, they'll be fully competent in those issues and know the hows and the whys and the ramifications. And then they go to be voters and hopefully can be more knowledgeable when they vote on these, like the rain tax and all these other issues that are coming up.
There are a lot of issues that people point to generational differences in. One of them is marriage equality, for example. People have found that younger people really have very little problem with gay people being married. It's just not a big deal the way it is for their parents and grandparents. Do you think that there's a generational difference between young people's approach and interest in the environment as opposed to people in the generations that preceded them?
Absolutely. We definitely.
So it's getting better, in other words.
I think so. I know that we at the Conservancy are reaching thousands of students each year, just getting them outside and engaging. I will say, you know, technology is an interesting piece because there's a lot of pros and a lot of cons, and a lot of our young students are very used to this technology. So one way that we have found to get them outside is to use the technology to investigate the world around them using a lot of citizen science applications.
Yep, there's an app for that, isn't there?
Yes.
Yeah. And speaking of, there's an app for that. You know, one thing we like to say, especially about this program, is that it's not the answers. The answers are easy. All of these kids have a cell phone in their pocket and they can Google the answer to anything. What's important is the question and the driving questions that we are asking when we challenge the students to do this research.
Mm-hmm. The NOAA grant was $310,000. The state is matching, giving you a $250,000 grant. That's for an expansion that you're going to do. So I think folks understand where that money goes. Where does the $310,000 go when this, in this watershed report card thing? How do you actually spend that money?
Well, a lot of that is transportation money, so all of the buses to get the students to all of these streams. We also have the stream study supplies, so the nets and the chemical testing supplies and the probes and those sorts of things. We have a group of watershed coaches who are really key to this project because they are the ones that go back into every single high school every quarter and meet with the teachers, meet with the students, help them analyze the data, help them develop the report card. So a large chunk of the funding goes to support the watershed coaches that are working every quarter in the schools.
Yeah, there's a lot that goes into it. And how do you coordinate it, Anne, with the school system? This is clearly integrated into the curriculum that they're hearing about in the classroom as well.
We spend a lot of time before the kids even start school preparing the teachers, running professional development, we have wonderful partners that help us with this grant, Department of Natural Resources, come out and teach the teachers how to investigate the stream. So we empower the teachers right along with the students, the confidence of watershed education. You know, they feel more confident in working right along with us.
Great.
So it's really the prep.
All right. Well, Anne and Meg, thank you so much to both of you and continue the great work. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Meg Boyd is the executive director of the Howard County Conservancy in Woodstock, Maryland. Anne Strozik is an environmental educator for the Howard County School System, who is based at the Conservancy. On Friday night at 7 o'clock, there's a flashlight hike to check out the nocturnal life at the Conservancy just in time for Halloween. We've got more information on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. Coming up after a break for news, a conversation with Robert Roper about his new biography of Vladimir Nabokov, a very smart guy. Speaking of smart guys, here's Nathan Sterner.